something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
it's the morning after Cottage Jams.
Gord and Bruce write a song together at Ronnie Hawkins' place.
Plus, we meet Donovan's brand new secret weapon, Phil. That's all coming up right now on TNT. Hey, Kevin. You awake, bro? You awake, buddy?
Hey, man, why you gotta play this song so loud, man?
Man, last night was epic. We need to debrief, bro.
What happened?
I don't even know. I was hoping you would remember.
Did you do something? Why am I all covered in cuts? Like little cuts?
Dude, I think what happened was we went over to the neighbors because there was a party, and then we kind of got lost on the way back, and we ended up cutting through the brush, but like I think it was like we took the wrong way.
But why over, like, where's our clothes? Like, why is it like even everything's all muddy and scratched up?
Well, I've been meaning to talk to you about that, because, like, I woke up with no clothes on, too.
What were we doing in the forest with no clothes on? Was that...
I don't know, but I have, like, looks like bite marks on my horn.
I got mosquito bites all up my ass. Last thing I remember was at the bonfire, somebody threw, like, a big dry Christmas tree or two of them in a big blast of... Wait a second, do you think we burned our clothes off?
Wait a sec. Remember when we were leaving
were
here,
we
you were
fire,
like, do you have
man?
A yogurt container? Because I want to take some gas.
And we were both rolled. Because they were rolling us because we were on fire, dude.
Dude, did they roll us into the lake?
They did. Yeah, that makes total sense, man. Because our clothes must have been burning and they, like, were wet. And then, like, we ran through the forest, I guess. But I don't remember why we were running through the forest, though.
Well, then who bit my horn?
Well, that's probably like the dozens of mosquitoes. Is it like you're not like a real bite, is it?
Well, take a look at it. They're just like,
that's,
see the scrapes
marks
down the side, but
there's
also on top
marks.
It's like dots.
Somebody bit your horn, man, for real.
But then underneath there's like a scab, but then like on the side it's like raw.
And there's like a, yeah. And your bag is kind of separated. Look, man.
Well, that is a mosquito bite, and I think I have a tick.
Oh, no.
See that? It's not a mole. I think that's a tick.
Oh, yeah. Listen, man. We got to get ourselves some cream or something.
I'm going to get some tick cream, PharmaSave. Because I'm going to ask the dude if they have anything for bag ticks.
Oh, no. Poor Larry gets Lyme disease.
Lyme disease of the sack. That's the worst kind. Carol was reading something and it said that's where ticks like to go. Ticks like to get all up in your baba ganoush.
No.
Yeah.
That's too much.
By the way, we should mention that the girls are home.
Yeah.
And you're flying solo with three, right?
I am. Lisa's gone with her friends for the weekend, and I'm riding at home here and with the monkeys.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there might be interruptions at any time.
Anytime.
I should also mention that Carol is outside right now mowing on the John Deere.
That's classic.
So if there's intermittent rumblery, that's what's going on.
Yeah. I've got the kids lined up with... I fired up the PS4 and I fired up the TVO Kids.
So we'll see how long that lasts. Because Indy and Sugar were outside having a dance party. There's actually some great clips of them dancing to Let Your Backbone Slide.
Oh,
sunset
really?
In our backyard.
Well, because our kids, mine are, it's like summertime fun time again. And they were up till like midnight again last night. So they sleep till 12.
What are they doing till midnight? Drinking?
They're running around, hanging out, drawing, playing, reading. Like, that's the thing. Like, okay, you go to bed and send them to bed at 10:30, but they're up reading for another hour and a half,
right,
or whatever, you know? They're just psyched. They're so fired up.
It's like they're on European jet lag time.
Yeah, and they were just, after a full week of being up at the cottage and swimming every day and jumping around in the water, so
Summer Styles.
Yeah, they got it going. The energy is peaking right now.
So I have to tell you a sad story.
What?
Before we get back to our morning after cottage jams.
Yeah.
Last summer it started, Carol and I were looking at an inflatable towable to tow behind the boat.
Okay.
You know, like those waterborne couches that people sit on.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have two bangers.
The donut ones or the couch pulling carts.
Yeah. They have the two bangers, and they were at Canadian Tire for $1.99. And I thought, that's a pretty decent price for a towable, but it turns out they're for kids. They only take a certain amount of weight, whatever.
Yeah.
We thought we should probably get something that, you know, adults can go on to. So we did some research, we checked the reviews, and we found a Connolly four banger.
Oh,
two
really?
People sit up front, and two people can kneel on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of handles. It's very safe. Everyone can party on it. You can use it in some different configurations. You can turn it around and pull it backwards. Like, has a lot of gears.
I remember seeing a guy getting pulled on a picnic bench with two barrels under it. But
I love that.
That's like old school Berlin.
I love that. Maybe that's what we should have done. So
yeah, right?
The tow rope is like $80. Anything to do with water is a little pricey.
What would be the most ridiculous manufactured towed thing that you can think of? Like a piece of wood, like just ripping around on the...
Well, when you see those hot dog things, like the four banger where people sit on it and like it's an inflatable hot dog, you could probably do that beachcomber styles with
I'm saying
tree.
If you don't have any inflatable stuff, like a plank or one of those, like, no, for sure, one of those old school sleighs, like the Christmas style going
down
the hill.
For sure.
Seven banger.
A seven banger towed behind a boat. Well, for sure, if they have those hot dog inflatable things, then presumably a beachcomber style tree would work.
Like yeah, for
four
sure.
Four guys Berlin on a tree behind a boat, that'd be wicked.
Jesse and Adonis style, just ripping through Lake Joseph.
And it's like a little the like relics boat.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
One of them super low masks with an outboard on it.
When it starts, that just dips, the front end goes way up like a Sagret boat.
And you can't even see the water.
You can just smell gas for miles.
That's what I found, because ours is a bow rider, so the bow goes up when you start, and the faster you go, it sits down in the front. But it's hard to see.
Yeah.
And also, when there's masks in the bow, it's hard to see over them. Anyway, I realize... first world problems for sure.
You need to get like a Chris Christie mask for the front, and then it won't be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But then you can't see over them or around them.
No, you just get them to lie down.
Yeah, just lie down across the front. Would you mind?
Go lie down and read.
What do you mean?
Read your Tom Clancy book.
Just lie down with your Tom Clancy book.
Just keep firing like martinis at him.
Yeah. Where'd the skinny pop go? Oh, he's got it up front.
He's crushing a bag of Chicago mix, like lying down, crushing Cosmos.
Or he's like lying down in the front, but facing you with his legs up on either side. Hanging a rat. So we get the Connolly four banger.
Yeah.
Take it out for a rip. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it was worth the price, and it was on sale at Canadian Tire, but it was still five bills.
Pretty much. Wow. Yeah. So it has like the real tough fabric and all that stuff.
Yeah. And we thought, you know, if we're going to buy one, let's buy a good one because we'll have it for 10 years, blah, blah, blah. So we use it. We take it out. The girls love it. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Store it in my father-in-law's shed. Go back to take it out a second time. Puncture it on a nail in the shed while I'm carrying it out.
Come on.
It deflates. So the thing came with a patch kit. So I put the patch on it, blow it back up.
There's no guarantee?
Hold air.
No guarantee on it?
Used it once. Well, there's no guarantee against human idiocy.
I know, but like if it happens like one day after you buy it. Come
well,
on.
Carol called them and she's in talks with them. We have to send a picture of it. But meanwhile, I was like, oh, man, first time, what are the odds?
Yeah.
So I go to another Canadian Tire, and I was talking to the sporting goods manager, and he's like, tell you what, it's going to go down $100 next Friday, buy it today,
then bring the receipt it, like in next on a Friday corner, and $100 credit. It.
Dude, what?
It's like he's on a street corner whispering it to you.
Hey. Well, the thing that he can't do is give me the $100 off today, but he's like, you know what we do? Within 14 days, you bring the receipt back in, we'll credit you with $100.
Yeah. We'll so, credit you with $100.
Well, plus I had $66 in Canadian Tire money ready to go. So suddenly we couldn't afford not to buy another one. So I bought another one, and we have yet to inflate it, but Carol has since heard back that they might be able to warranty the first one.
Oh,
so I might have a second Connolly Four Banger on my hands, and
this is like Lisa with the Nielsen milk containers.
Why would she do with those?
Remember, she complained that they made them too smaller. They were doing the three smaller bags or whatever instead of four.
They were doing sneaky bags.
The sneaky bags, and then they changed it back. But like, they sent like I don't know, like 9 coupons of like free milk.
No way. They changed it back based on her complaint?
No, but there must have been tons, yeah, because they changed it back.
Like, nice try, sneaky bags.
Yeah. Well, they say, isn't it, like, if a company gets, like, 10 phone calls, that's it, apparently? Like, from 10 different people, because apparently one person represents 100 people, maybe even more now.
Well, we should just try to do that with Swiss Chalet to get them back to the Toblerone. Because yeah. I noticed for the summer they're doing a limited time Toblerone.
Just get Buds to call in and say, hey, bring back the festive special for summertime.
See if we can get 10 people to call and see if we can make it happen.
Why not just buy a Toblerone at the convenience store and throw it on your chicken when you crush it?
Well, because you're paying for it is the thing.
No, but I'm thinking like you break it up over the chicken.
Gross. Melt it on the chicken.
No, you're breaking it all up. Crunching it up.
So, the other thing that's happening with the boat, as my father-in-law says, there's two good days it's good to have a boat. One is the day you buy it, the other is the day you sell her, bud.
Yeah.
It seems like they are very fickle vehicles.
Well, yeah, there's just upkeep and storage. I don't have one, but all my friends that do, it's very, very expensive to maintain, for sure.
Well, it's just dumb stuff. Like, right now, my trim will go down, but it won't go up. So that is like the putting the prop down in the water and lifting it back up. So it'll go down all the time, which is fine if you have deep water. But if you have shallow water where you moor it, then you're going to bang it on the bottom.
That's great. Those are great words. Moor.
I know. Solenoid.
Yeah.
Trim.
Some good stuff.
But it's great because I asked a question online and lots of mechanic buds came out of the woodwork. They said things ranging from just click the switch 10 times really fast to gonna have to take her out of the water, bud. Whatever. I'm not good at stuff.
So you just gotta farm it out. You think you're bad at it?
Are you handy?
I'm handy, but I don't know what I'm doing generally when it comes to outdoor and house stuff.
So what are you handy with?
That's some backdoor jumping out of that, eh?
Yeah.
Trying to lawyer it up on the phrase.
Yeah.
Well, I actually I sort am of handy. Get it. Very handy. It's just I don't really know when there's a tool in my hand how good it is.
So what do you mean then?
Like I could probably build you like an ashtray
out of like you could blow glass?
Like Play-Doh and maybe a birdhouse. Hey, I got a funny story
about... That's not nothing.
I got a funny story. Well, the birdhouses you make in grade 7 shop class styles.
Yeah, that's okay.
I remember in grade 7 shop, the teacher was the classic older guy, and he had, like, 2 fingers missing, like the ultimate, right? That guy, the teacher.
Love it.
And the first thing he said, he's like, throws out the acetylene before oxygen right away. He's like, A before O or up you go to the kids. And the other thing he says to all the kids, he's like, everybody in this room, you're all going to get hurt. Something's going to happen to every one of you.
That was his opening?
Yeah. He's like, you're going to get hurt. It might be, you might hit a hammer on your thumb. You might, you know, get a trip and cut, you know, clip your finger, or you might lose your whole hand. Like, just totally.
Wow.
Giving them to everybody off the top. This was in when I went to school in Midland.
Just so you know, you are going to get hurt, so don't even worry about it. Let's just know that going in.
But
I think dudes at Fairview Junior High wanted to make throwing stars in shop. Like when you're working with tin.
Yeah.
Like I think I rubbed out a couple of deer in a tree setting, like kind of picture, and other dudes are making throwing stars.
No, sorry. It was the school and it was in Elmville, but I can't remember his name, the teacher, but he was the shop teacher and he was old. And it was $2 to buy the wood to build the birdhouse, right? $2 for every kid in the class. When we built the birdhouse. And I didn't bring the $2 because I didn't have it. And the guy, this was like, I don't know, like November in the year, right? School year. And he was just killing me all year, right? Where's that $2, Jeremy? Can you bring that $2 in?
You had to dodge him?
I just kept saying it because I never had $2. Like $2 was a big huge deal in like 1986 or whatever it was. So it went on all spring and the end of school. And even in the summer, man, like after school was over, I'd see him drive up to my house.
No.
And my parents were at work. And I'd see him come to the front door and knock on the door for like 10 minutes, and then he'd leave. He came back like 4 times that summer.
Looking for the 2 spot?
Yes. It's the craziest shit ever, man. Like, I don't know if it was like on the way somewhere for him or since it wasn't a big deal to stomp in.
Summer drive-bys.
But man, he just took it personally. And I guess it was the principal. But he wouldn't stop, and we moved away.
And the end of that story is his name was R.J. Logan.
Well, it's very R.J. Logan-esque. And he died in the apartment
below you, chasing you for your $2.
I wish I could find the guy's name.
I had a chocolate bar money outstanding debt to pay, and there was a tall teacher named Mr. Doyle at Fairview Junior High, and I was playing intramural volleyball, and the ball was coming right to me, and I was ready to bump it, and then suddenly I was in darkness, as because Mr. Doyle was looming over me, and he caught the volleyball with one hand in midair and said, "Where's your chocolate bar money?" It was terrifying.
Oh my God.
Big, gravelly voiced, intimidating cat.
Nothing for you until you do this.
"Where's your chocolate bar money?" I was like, "I don't have it." "Well, when can I expect it?" It's like shaking me down.
Yeah.
But it's not really shaking me down because I was supposed to have the chocolate bar money, but I didn't ever tell you. In junior high, for reasons I still don't understand, I used to turn blue.
Like what? Like holding your breath for kicks?
No, just at random.
Like Smurfski?
It must have been some type of circulation thing. So it wouldn't last very long. So I would turn blue, like legit blue.
What do you mean? Like the Silverwater guy? That guy who crushed all the Silverwater and turned blue? Like that?
Like somewhere between a senior citizen's hair rinse and Blue Man Group. Like somewhere in between.
Like if Dart Guy went all blue?
Yeah, if blue? Dart Guy went all blue, exactly.
That's how blue you would get?
I'd get that blue.
Get the fuck out of here, yeah, man. So, no way.
So here's what happened.
Like Smurf, full on.
No, but wait for it. So the problem was, every time I left, like, hey, you're blue. Okay, perfect, let's go to the hospital. By the time I got to the hospital, I wouldn't be blue anymore. And they were like, what are you talking about? So my mom gave me emergency blue taxi money. So if I turned blue, I could take a cab to the hospital so they could see me blue.
No.
But I would always spend it at the store because every day we would go to the store at school and I'd spend my taxi money. And then I'd turn blue and wouldn't have the dough to take a taxi. But
like, did it hurt?
No.
Come on.
I didn't even know until people were like, you're blue.
So you'd be like, I've got to go to the doc. But you didn't. You're like, I don't know why. And they would say, bullshit, you're not blue.
Bullshit. I don't remember. I mean, it was never resolved and it was never diagnosed as anything. It must have been some circulation thing. But I turned blue for a whole school year. Probably
and then
once
that's
every
when you,
10 days.
You contemplated either the circus or TV.
Yeah.
But you didn't know how you could turn blue.
Isn't that
blue?
Weird, though? What's the weirdest physical ailment you've ever had?
You couldn't control it, so you couldn't use it to your advantage.
No. It's like being colorblind. Like, you don't get to park near the entrance to anything. You don't get a check for it.
No.
at best a minor annoyance and at worst a conversation starter, but there's no, it's not hip.
I heard somebody that was colorblind, they had a way of, I don't know if it was like they put something over their eyes or some kind of Elon Musk shit, but they could see color.
Wow. And well, I think there are goggles now, aren't there?
There's something, but they apparently the reaction is incredible. Like, they were just like, their mind was blown.
Yeah, I think I saw some, like, Bammy and Bampy.
Yeah.
The Bampy got to put on...
Yeah, that's right.
...glasses, and he was crying because he'd never seen any.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, want to take a break and keep getting into these Morning After Cottage jams?
That's what I want to do. Plus, we're going to play... What did you call it?
We're going to call it Fight a Guy.
Fight a Guy. I love it.
Fight a Guy.
It's all coming up on TNT. Stay with us.
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom!
Oh, man.
Joe?
Gino, what happened, man? Whoa, what a night, eh?
Joe, I told you we should shut it down because Mom and Pops are going to be here any minute.
Oh, man, we got into the vino and everything.
I know, but Uncle Vito said we could use this cottage on the condition that we didn't mess anything up.
Who dumped a bushel of tomatoes?
You were the one who decided to have the throwing of the tomatoes when we met those girls.
Holy fucker. Dad's calibrated sausage. Someone took a big fucking bite out of it. Look at the cold storage. It's fucking wrecked.
I could choke you in your own vomit right now. I'm so pissed.
4 decks of Brio gone.
We gotta get to Costco, and one of us has to stay and clean up. Which one are you gonna do?
Oh, man, Gino, I can't do this by myself. They're gonna be here by 2 o'clock. It's already 1.
But here's what I'm thinking. If you go to Costco, I imagine you're gonna have the happy returns today.
Oh.
And you can't be barfing at Costco.
I got lodged so bad. It's sample day.
People will be slipping in it.
I got lodged so bad, Gino. You have no idea. I can't deal, man. I gotta get some Tums or something.
Why don't I get you 7 pounds of Tums? Because that's the size it comes in at Costco. You can eat your weight in Tums in a relaxed atmosphere.
Look at the floor. It's covered in olive oil. And somebody threw the pasta over the place. It's gonna take me an hour. Come on, you gotta help me. Maybe we can get Mario to help us out next door.
Mario?
Like, come on,
Mario's
yeah.
not gonna be awake for another 5 hours.
Oh, man,
he saw the sunrise. Trying to close with them girls.
What are we gonna do, man? I'm telling you, Mom and Dad.
Joe, you passed out again out of anger.
Oh. Joe. Gino. Frightened
of this thing. Gino. What, did you get some sense knocked into your head?
What? Man, this ain't helping nothing, man.
All I'm saying is, one of us has this problem. I was the one saying, let's shut it down, and you were the one who was saying, let's keep going. So when Mom and Pops get here, I'm going to tell the truth, which is I listened to my Walkman in a hammock while you made an ass of yourself.
Hey, Gino, we gotta write something like this, man. This is so good. It's Toto stuff.
I don't think it's for me.
Oh, I love it.
Do you like Toto?
Not really. Great. Why? I love Jeff Porcaro, great drummer. They're all like good musicians, but kind of whatever salad, if you ask me.
You don't like Pamela?
You mean Rosanna?
Well, they have 2 songs named after girls.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, Pamela, don't seal this heart of mine. Just remember, it may not heal this time. But don't tickle today.
They got jams about the girls on the road.
Do you think? Well, wasn't Rosanna was about Rosanna Arquette, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember the halftime shuffle drum beat that I learned when I was a kid. Thought it was horny.
Remember Phil?
Oh, yeah, Phil.
Phil's a great character. We're saying that Donovan would bring in his friend Phil to fill out parts of a song that weren't working. So, do you still have that song, Africa?
No, but I can put in another one. I got this. Did you do this Eric Clapton track?
Yeah, sure did.
Pretending, remember?
So, Phil, we are recording. I'll hit go on the track. Yeah, you hear it in the cans.
Yeah.
So just take a moment and a cappella use your paintbrush to fill in some spots, yeah?
Gotcha. No problem, D.
Wherever you see fit. Good luck, Phil.
Just around Eric's vocals, right?
That's right.
Cool.
But make it tasteful. I love the idea that Donovan has a friend named Phil who does acapella drum fills and songs.
So do the end, like I'll stop it and you be Donovan.
Okay.
Some badum da bad stand up. Boom ka boom ba.
Okay, let's stop it there then. Phil?
Yeah?
I think it was a bit subtle.
Yeah.
I think you can make yourself more present, earn your money.
Well, I figured you could probably, like, I did a lot, like, are you saying it was a bit busy, or?
No, I'm quite the opposite, love. I'm saying I think you could be more present.
Oh, you're...
I think it'll only be working...
Yeah.
...when people say... I can barely hear Eric. So let's try it with that in mind.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Don't be afraid to step on his toes, lad, because afterwards I can bring you a level down, right?
Is that why there's like a dartboard in the back with Eric Clapton's face? Like, does he know you're like...
He'd find it just as funny as we do.
But those are like the master tapes.
Yeah, he'd find that great. Don't worry about that, lad.
All right, okay,
let's try
hang
again.
On.
Hit the track and don't be afraid to step on Eric's vocals.
Okay.
Because I can bring your level down, right?
All right.
Here we go. Let's stop there for a minute. Let's stop there. You're finding it now.
Yeah.
I think you can be even more present. Even, like, the only time you're not doing fills is when you need to take a quick breath.
Okay.
So let's try it again, but that's it. Just, we've got the ingredients. Let's double the bar.
All right, okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Have fun. Boom boom dat. Come on. Zap up up up. Put up up. Shut up. Boom boom. Boom boom boom. Dat. Dat. Do do do. Do do do. Do do do. Do do do. Prap. Sugar boom. Pat 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 pat. Prap pat boom. Boom boom. Boom boom. Pat pussy. Da ba. Ba lu ra wu fru fru ra. Pa. Psh. Ba da ba da ba. Boom boom. Ba. Zaka. Do 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 do. Ra 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 ra. Boo do ba. Sa ba da 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 da. Ra 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 ra. That is so stupid.
Would you like to make rolls? Wow! Wow! Like 30 second strokes? Wow! Wow! Oh man! Phil!
Why would you bring someone in to do that?
Phil!
And what does Phil have that, like, literally everyone else in the world couldn't do?
He's just like...
Anyone can go, doo-bak, goo-dak, 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 dabby-dabby.
He does styles. He breaks it down. He's just... He's a tower of rhythm.
Can you please... Can you please bring up In the Air tonight? I want to hear Phil do a pass on In the Air tonight.
What do you mean? Like other like throughout the song?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The drums are so present, but like, talk like about an unnecessary layer.
Second half. It's like when Donovan's just trying to fuck over his artist because they didn't do what he wanted.
Like, Phil Collins just left the studio, and he's like, I'm very happy with it. Please don't add anything else. Oh, but he's been such a jerk to deal with that Donovan's like, no problem.
He's had it with him.
Hey, Phil, can you come in real quick?
No. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. Let's hope it doesn't get a stupid end.
It's really funny. Phil!
Hey, D, what's up? You want me to do something on this?
I recently recorded this track with a pop artist. He's, let's keep him anonymous, just for security reasons. I think this track could use just some tasteful fills. You'll hear it and just see if you can hop in.
It's like a bare little drum track. Like, you sure you don't want it sparse? It feels...
Well, right now it is bare. It's a clothesline.
Like, it feels...
But why don't you hang some dungarees on it, verbally?
Are you sure, man? Like, this...
Yeah, just listen.
Sounds pretty good, man. I don't know. You're the boss,
though. Did a book back up gadum. Book back up gadum.
Yeah, you don't have to... You don't have to tell me what to do, man. I got it.
Especially when we get to the chorus.
Hey, man, this is Phil Collins, dude. Like...
Is it? Could be. Doesn't matter.
Like, the guy's crazy drummer. Like, are you sure he wants me to do this?
Yeah, he specifically said, yeah.
So, like, I'm gonna wait until the song builds, right?
No, you can hop in now.
Now?
Sure.
But it's so sparse, man.
I can take it out. I don't even have to use it.
All right, okay. Ready?
Roll.
Put the prep.
I think Vizier will really help with the sort of manic internal monologue of the guy who's going through this in a song.
Fucking that, fucking down. Give me some rope. Fucking drowning.
Even more.
Give me some fucking rope.
Here it comes. Especially here. Even more louder.
It just feels like I'm all over the place with this, so sparse, man. I don't know.
Okay, let's skip ahead in the song then.
Like,
I'm just gonna shuttle it ahead, yeah.
Like here?
No, even more.
Like a little more?
Here we go, like try it now. I want to hear you over the existing drums. That's what Phil wanted.
Holy fuck, Phil's crazy.
want to pick a song a week for Phil. Phil, thanks for coming in. And then after a while, we could just start playing the songs, and then Phil hops in, and people will know exactly what's happening.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Phil.
I love that he's a specialist
in
doing a cappella drum fills in the studio. Like, how do you even become that?
And he's only Donovan's secret guy, so there's no reputation he can ruin. No one knows who he is, because he just does Donovan albums.
It's a secret weapon. Dakum, 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 boogie, boogie,
Martin?
Whoo!
Where's my beer chair?
Hey, guess whose house is for sale, bud?
The guy across the street from us?
Probably. Is it?
Yeah, it's for sale.
No.
3-bedroom on 3 acres, $179.9.
Didn't you have your eyeball on that?
Well, I was keeping an eye on it as a block.
Yeah.
Mostly just to control who lives across the street from us. But $179.9 is awfully rich for my blood, just as a block. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
But if it was like significantly less than that, I'd consider it as a block.
Yeah.
But I have no use for it.
For sure.
And value is only, you know, as much as it's worth to you.
Oh, I know. Especially when it's a lot of land where there's a lot of land available, right?
Well, yeah. And how much is it worth to have no one living across the street from you? Maybe the people that'll move in will be great. Maybe they'll have ghost. Maybe that'll be best friend styles.
Talk about neighbors moving in.
I know. But at the same time, maybe they'll be dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Shotgun firing.
Bonfire.
Nightmares.
Driving the ATVs around.
Yeah.
Like, going over jumps with huge old cars?
Yeah, or I walk out the door to go to Sobeys and I hear, hey, G-Rock!
Oh, man.
G-Rock!
Check out this catapult we built.
Come over for a Rockberry cooler, bud!
They're like, big, huge catapult, and they're putting barrels of oil and lighting them on fire, and big, huge explosions.
And sending them over to my place?
They're like, called, like, bikers? Biker pranks. Where it's like the most extreme shit going on the whole time.
Yeah. Anything you want to burn? No, I'm good. Thanks. Just chuck her on the pile right here in our front yard that you have to look at every day.
And one guy's swinging another guy and beating him up with a guy.
Yeah. How much fire can you withstand? Check this out. He can put his face over an open flame for 90 seconds and not even feel it.
You see them all big having parties and they're all pissing everywhere and the grass is all dead.
Why is that where your mind goes? That's your default.
Well, I just think it's like, how much can you degrade and desecrate a property more than pissing and shitting everywhere and wrecking all the growing plants and grass?
And I have to go to the county and fill out a complaint, and I have to write down they're snapping off number ones all over the lawn.
Yeah, it starts to creep into your lawn. That's how bad it gets.
Yeah. Or I come out and there are two round circles of dead grass on my ditch, like, and I know exactly what's up.
It's like Roundup. It's like affecting everybody around you guys.
Oh, sorry, is that your lawn? Yeah, actually it is, yeah. Oh, sorry about that. Read somewhere that urine's pretty good for it.
Notice your little yellow on the corner over there.
Barf.
Greasy.
Whose house is for sale?
Ronnie Hawkins, poor soul.
I saw that.
Yeah.
It looks like the, remember I told you last year that one of Willie Nelson's tour buses was for sale on eBay?
Yeah.
And we actually thought about it because it was his band's bus from the 80s and it was wagon wheels and all that. And we didn't, speaking of practical use, there was no practical use for it, but it was kind of cool.
That's the bus that our old bus driver, Jim Boatman, drove for Willie Nelson.
No way.
Yeah, because he had that bus for decades.
Boatman is a legend in bus driver circles, isn't he?
Yes, and he kind of looks like Willie Nelson, but he happened to work with Willie Nelson, but he was like a singer in the 50s.
Like, and is he the guy that when you went to a festival or something, all the other drivers are like, Jim Boatman around?
Yep. Yeah,
like they want to gather at his hearth and hear some stories?
A legend. Just a legend.
So is the Hawks house, like, is that, has he had it for a long time, or does it have its place in pop culture?
I'm pretty sure he's been there since, like, the late 50s or early 60s, around there. Like,
come on.
Moved up to Canada and loved it and just stayed. And that's where, like, John Lennon would go and stay, and him and Yoko would go, and countless people would, you know, record albums there. And
no way.
Gordon Lightfoot wrote Sundown there.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a place that should be kind of protected as a, because if you go in there, it's all like, I haven't been, but I've spoken to him on the phone, and he's one of those guys, like a true bod, where he'll just like talk to you for half an hour. It's like hanging out at my parents' place, you know, just really, really amazing guy.
What's he want for that?
I think it's like 5 mil or 4.5 mil.
Come on.
It was originally 14 mil. Like, he's got like 1,000 foot of water frontage, and it's just a beautiful piece of property.
Well, is he selling it because he needs the dough?
Well, I think his line was, I got 1 foot in my grave, and my wife's not doing so good, so we need to downsize, I guess.
I'm just looking it up. It is 4.3 million.
Yeah.
Hawkstone Manor.
Yeah.
On Stony Lake.
Yeah, it is literally the Graceland of Canada.
He's got
pictures on the wall of like everybody, you know, all the greats from Elvis to the Beatles to everybody. Just, and obviously he's the guy who put the band together. Like, found those guys, and the Hawks became his backing band, and they became the band.
So but, obviously they would have stayed there.
I'm sure, for sure.
Listen to this, 4.3 million. Mm. Well, that's a lot of money. It's far less than when he put the property on the market in 2013 for an asking price of 14.9.
Yeah, yeah.
He's dropped the price 10 milsy.
Yeah, that's pretty...
So Lightfoot, it says here, wrote Sundown while staying at one of the guest cottages on the estate. 5-bedroom, 3-bedroom mansion, 2 guest cottages, 5,600 square feet of living space, and a large barn used for social events on 175 acres with more than 3,300 feet of shoreline on Stony Lake.
Yeah, man.
He's 82 years old. Imagine the substances that have been ingested there.
He's beat everything 10 times.
Yep.
Including pancreatic cancer, which is like, everybody says that's a death sentence.
If I had the dough, what I would say is, I'll buy it if you continue to live there so that I can hear the stories.
The place needs to be at least all the stuff, because it's exactly as it used to be, you know. It's like, it's just a classic place. Have you been to Graceland?
No. Have you?
Yeah, and you walk, it's like, it's kind of... Half the cool part is the fact that it's like you're walking around in the 70s, right? With all the old school rugs and TVs and everything. It's just...
So it's untouched.
Yeah, yeah. It's as it was. But I imagine Ronnie's place is not like completely, but there's probably some amazing rustic qualities that haven't changed.
I'm sure. But also, like... As an historic destination, it certainly has a lot to offer, but also just that land in that place with that much water frontage must be worth an awful lot
yeah.
in and of itself.
Well, it makes sense that he was throwing out 14 mil, because if you divided that property up, a guy could make way more than $4 million.
I know, but it's a fire sale. Shouldn't we try to... put together a group of investors. Imagine if Bod Nation,
everyone
put in $1,000.
We do a GoFundMe for Ronnie's place.
Yep. And we make her a museum, and we make it like the Bod Institute.
Yeah. Well, no, just the Ronnie Hawkins Institute adopted, brought forth the aid of Bods across the country.
A Bodist retreat.
Yeah.
Imagine Lightfoot putting the finishing touches on Sundown in that cottage, looking out at the water.
Imagine, let's take it up a notch. Imagine if it's Bruce Coburn happens to be there too, and they're trying to write songs together. How about that?
They're in his and his cottages.
Yeah.
There's 2 guest cottages, so Coburn's in one and Lightfoot's in the other.
Yeah.
And Lightfoot would be like, Bruce wrote 2 hits this morning already. How's your day going?
It's going all right. I'm just thinking I'm going to just write a couple songs this afternoon.
Oh, what about? Have you given that any thought? Because I came with lots of ideas.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even bring my guitar. I'm really going to be I'm really feeling it up here. It's beautiful. I mean, Ronnie's been fantastic. And
so what's your song about, the one that you're going to try to write now?
Well, I just got a couple ideas. Why don't you, you want to go get to work?
You know what I'm going to suggest? What's Why don't you take one of these little pills that has my eyes open wide? That's how I was able to write a song this morning already entitled Sundown. Here's what I did. I bought a rhyming dictionary and rhymed words like pain and losing when I'm winning again. I just rhymed all the words and I was having trouble, but this little pill kept my eyes open wide. Little Why don't you pill, take this and see what takes a hold of you?
What is that? I've never heard, seen such a...
It's some kind of ecstasy.
Really?
Yeah, I'll leave you to it. Good luck with the writing session. Let me know how it goes.
Oh, let me just get some water here. I mean, if Gordon Lightfoot says so, I mean, jeez.
Look, Bruce, let's be honest. I have nothing but your best interests in mind, and I want to see you accomplish the heights that I have someday.
So it's going to really just get me thinking. It's going to help me?
Oh, it's going to take hold of you. Don't worry about it. You'll feel like a tiger or a lion.
Let's get to work. You go ahead in your thing, and I'm going in my thing here. Yep.
Hey, you know what? While you write, I'm going to go outside because the sun's up. Mm-hmm. Looks okay. I'll be back.
Whoa. What's going on in here? It's getting kind of hot. Let me just knock on the wall here and see what Gord's up to. How's it going, Gord?
I'm just outside working on my tan.
Hey, Gord, so I'm just gonna start?
Anytime, Bruce. None of my beeswax. You do you, bro. I'll do me. I'm gonna sit outside and catch some rays. I need to get tan before sundown.
All right. Well, it is warm in here. It's actually kind of bright, even though there's no lights on. It's kind of sexy in here. Let's try some lyrics here. Lyrics. Sun's up, looks okay, the world survives into another day, and I'm thinking about eternity.
How's the ecstasy?
Some kind of ecstasy, gotta hold on me. That's not
Think
bad.
About dreams and stuff like that that you might have had.
Hey, I'm just gonna take my shirt off here.
Going tarps off is always a solid move.
Hey, Gord, do you mind not looking at me through the window? Or actually, maybe, come on, Mike, feel free to lean against the window.
Don't worry, you won't find me creeping around your back stairs.
Had another dream about lions at the door that weren't as half as frightening as were before. That doesn't work. They weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity.
How's the ecstasy?
Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Ooh.
What if you're like, because I was by the back window and now I'm not, what if you're like wondering where the Lightfoots are?
Maybe I gotta... Here, hang on, I'm gonna manufacture this disco ball. Turn the light on and spin it. See how that does. Okay. Whoa. This kind of ecstasy got a hold on me.
Are you wondering where the Lightfoots are?
Freighters on the night of the surface of the day. One of these days we're gonna sail away and gonna sail into eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Oh, I'm just gonna take my pants off here.
You know what, Bruce? I think you should give it a rest. That song will never fly. It sounds like garbage, just from a professional opinion.
Why are you talking through the window?
Am I really talking, or is it your mind playing tricks on you? Does some kind of ecstasy have a hold on you?
Why do you look so beautiful?
I wonder if Cobsey and Lightfoot ever did write together.
You imagine?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, but maybe.
I'm going to say no because, especially observing Cobsey in his natural habitat at Mariposa, we don't think...
And Bruce. Very, both of them. Well, Bruce is way more private.
There was no, like, Gord, Bruce, hugs. We don't think they interacted, do we?
There might have been. Like, I think maybe what happened was probably Gordy went over to Bruce's trailer, I think, or his tour bus, probably.
Do you think he did?
Yeah, I would assume that's probably how it went down, because Bruce wasn't walking around or hanging out at all.
No, but why make Gord travel to Bruce's bus? That's not the protocol, is it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Bruce popped into his earlier, too, though.
I don't think he did.
No?
No, I don't think so. I think they kept distance. Cobsey used the Bare Naked's bus from Friday night, which must have been a rental, because he went back down to Toronto in that bus, right?
Yeah.
So I had a friend over, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about Rick Mercer, as you do.
Sure.
I can't even remember the context in which he came up, but the gist of it was, I said Rick Mercer's very close to my age. They thought he was a little bit older. Fair enough, because he's been on TV at such a high level for so long.
Yeah.
So I Google the Rick Mercer, and he's 47.
Mm-hmm.
And the prompt that comes up is Rick Mercer net worth. You know how they have those, there's networth.org?
They're always bullshit.
They're always wrong, and I wonder what they base that on. Like, they don't know what a person's art collection or investments or paycheck is or whatever, but they must have some type of way to calculate it. So, it said Rick Mercer net worth, and I was like, I wonder if I'm on there for net worth. So anyway, I Googled myself with my net worth.
Yeah.
And this article comes up, and I'd like to read it for you if I could.
Yeah.
Jonathan Torrens, J-Rock of Trailer Park Boys, is not gay. Instead, he is married and have two childrens.
Come on.
Wait for it.
With an S? It starts out with you're not gay.
He have two childrens.
Well, this is...
I don't know how...
what kind of article is this?
How good at the English? I don't even know. So listen, it's really harsh when one has to go through something he isn't, and that's what Jonathan Torrens was accused of. While playing a gay role in one of his TV shows, Jonathan was told that he was a gay in real life. Many of his fans even believed it, as his personal information was hard to find. Jonathan Torrens being gay was a very controversial issue, as it's true that he hasn't shared or no one knows anything about his dating life or affairs or marriage and so on, people will unwillingly believe what's really not. I don't even know what language this is.
What is this?
Many admirers of Jonathan tried to prove that he isn't gay too, but this issue took some time to get clear. A few years back, Jonathan was spotted with a girl by some of his fans, but they were confused what their relation was. The fan mentioned that he was kissing a pregnant woman. Actually, it was Jonathan's wife, and they were in state of welcoming their baby.
What is going on with this person?
Later, Jonathan Torrens confronted and clarified that he is straight. But why was he quiet when the news hit the town? He did not even speak a word for a long time after the issue was raised by a number of people. As Jonathan Torrens revealed that he is not gay, he said that he did not confess anything because he wanted to collect proofs. He didn't just want to come up and say he is not gay.
Okay, hang on. It's like, this is reading like a storybook, like a kid's book, the way it's like living in the town and the legend.
I know. Listen, all the time we thought he was silent, he was making plans and collecting evidence to prove himself right in a solid way.
Picture of Jonathan doing that, right, on this page?
Who takes the time to write that, and who speaks with such... certainty in such terrible English.
It keep going.
All right.
Yeah.
Jonathan Torrens is a Canada native, best known for Street Sense, Jonavision, and Trailer Park Boys. He also made appearance. Then it's just kind of bio stuff.
Wow.
But instead of welcoming baby, was like, what What language is that? He then shared a tweet mentioning that he has a wife and he goes out with her too in a very different way.
Oh, man.
What does that even mean? I don't even know. How does that come about?
I have no idea.
Someone's like, how's the Torrens article coming? Really good. Okay, cool. We'll just give it a quick proofread and it's good to go? Yeah, let's get this out the door. I don't even know what the publication is.
Yeah, you can't even, like, it's just someone who has, like, an IQ of 19. Just...
It's Hitberry, Hitberry.com.
A dingus.
Hitberry.com, and it's written by Ryan Neville. I'm guessing that's not his real name. Hitberry.com. Jonathan Torrens is not gay. Instead, he is married and have two childrens. There you go. So if anyone was wondering, you can go to Hitberry.org just to get to the bottom.
But there is still a big swell about the whole thing about why you were so quiet about it.
Yeah, I was planning to figure out just the best way to prove all of them wrong.
I was at many meetings, and everyone was afraid.
I mean, not to use the term fake news, but some of the stuff that passes as news, I noticed this, Carol and I were watching, like, Boston. We always get the Boston affiliate channels here on the East Coast, ABC and CBS. So ABC News 7 in Boston. Their top story was 2-year-old toddler fell off a balcony. He's okay, but tonight, why it could have been much worse. That's not even news.
Oh, man.
That's not even news to say why it could have been worse.
I think it's like because no one watches them and they have to like paint these ridiculous. It's a lot like papers now. Like, journalists will have to, like, literally create some kind of, like, happening out of nothing, especially in sports.
Of course.
You know, it's just, like, absolute garbage, but that you have to frame it in a way to make people think, oh, my God.
Well, that's why we always say, it's not a very good story. I met Jeremy Taggart, and he was a nice guy. It's better if it's like Jeremy Taggart cut me off at a parking space. That's
and
a better
put me
story.
In a headlock in a park.
Yeah. By the way, seeing snakes.
Oh.
Seeing snakes is gangbusters.
Seeing snakes seeing snakes and snipes probably number 2.
Yeah.
But seeing snakes is really it's set off. We might even have to like edit it into the book of phrases.
I know,
like
no kidding.
Entry.
Seeing snakes is like, it's the new on the darts.
Yeah,
and people
is.
Sharing like emojis and
yeah, because if you think of it's just so fun, like the concept of it. Like, because it's banged up has its historical significance.
Yeah,
we all know that, but just the fact that nobody knew this for, like, it might be centuries or decades at least. Like, I think that one's from the 1800s.
Seeing snakes, and it's because everything is so blurry, you're seeing snakes.
Yeah. That's it. Everybody's
Jeremy Taggart,
like,
what is the thing that has been...
Everybody's hissing? Like, you can't hear anybody, and you're slurring?
What has been reported falsely about you over the years? Anything?
For 2 seconds, I was dead. Somebody thought I was killed.
No way.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because it was actually the true story was the Big Sugar drummer had a heart attack.
Aww.
And for some reason, it came out and people thought it was me. So there was just like
scary.
A day or something where people were like, what the hell? And it was like, no, man, nothing happened. But actually, this is terrible. So I'd say that's pretty significant, right?
Pretty startling.
Yeah.
Where did you find out that it was happening? That
I was
people
like
thought
on
that?
Tour in the States. So that's why it took a little bit. It was back then there was no quick hit social media.
Yeah, there was no telephones or anything.
There was no telephones. Everything was pigeons. It was like Game of Thrones.
You were seeing snakes somewhere in Delaware.
I was. I was getting poison ivy in Delaware. I did get poison ivy in Delaware.
Come on.
Yeah.
On your horn?
I was playing catch with Duncan, and I literally, the ball went like we were playing in a park, and the ball went into the forest like a foot, and I reached in and pulled the ball out, and like within an hour or so, I noticed that there was some bubbling happening on my arm.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh no, this is poison ivy. And it, for some reason, I think because it was in the afternoon and we played a show and it was summertime and we were playing outside, so I was sweating like crazy.
Does it spread?
It spreads big time.
Like, was it on your horn?
Let me keep going. It spread from my left wrist to, because when you're drumming, you hit your left leg a lot when you're hitting the snare or resting or whatever, so...
I know it well.
Yeah, you do know that now. But when it's really hot and you're playing outside and you're sweating everywhere, so the oil from the poison ivy went all over, and I literally had it all through my midsection. Not my horn, but like around the horn.
Whoa, the Matterhorn.
My stomach, and it was going both ways. It was going down to my legs and up to my chest.
And is it itchy or it's like
it's
fire?
Unbelievable. It's horrifyingly itchy. And it wouldn't stop because the next day it would spread again and the day after that. So I had to go into a hospital, and they gave me steroids, literally steroid shots to try and dehydrate the skin. But I was on them for these pills for like 2 weeks to try and minimize it, and it was going away. But I was... because I was hopped up on these steroids too. I was just not
jacked.
I wasn't feeling pain as much. You know what I mean? For some reason, so I could push it when I was playing drums. So when I was off those, I had this like massive like soreness throughout my muscles and my back.
So the weird thing is, you'd actually never drummed better.
Yeah, probably broke a lot of cymbals and snare drum heads. Hey, bud, let's take a break.
I know what that's like. Take a break. We're over, bud.
Yeah.
I guess we ran out of time. We don't have time for my apple fritter bag story. I'll tell that another time.
Okay, buds.
Good chatting, bud.
Good chatting,
I have to
bod.
Go to band practice. The Miniature Ponies are playing the Mr. D rap party.
No way.
Yeah. Sweet. And Mike O'Neill lives in Ontario, so we have to do. We have to switch out. We have a new bass player.
Let's recap next week.
We only have a couple weeks to get tight. Here we go to us. Whoop. Peace.